the small seed knows that it has potentiality to become a tree. That knowledge, that feeling helps the seed to become a mighty tree. The small crescent moon knows that it is capable to become a full moon. So it goes increasing its light and it becomes the full moon. The child knows that he has capacity to become father, and he becomes a father, and the girl becomes mother. The drop knows that it has capacity to be the ocean. So it merges with water and becomes the ocean. Then you don't find where is the drop. The drop has become ocean. But man does not know that he has the capacity and the potentiality, divine potentiality, to experience Godhood. And that is why he does not experience it. Because he does not sense it, he does not feel it, he does not experience it. The purpose of the meditation is to make human being to understand their capacity to experience Godhood. Make them feel that they have potentiality, instinct quality, or innate quality to experience the divinity. And meditation helps us. If we go deeper and deeper into meditation, we will be able to experience our real nature, our potentiality and capacity and innate quality. But before we do it, we have to see whether our mind is healthy or not. There are four types of mind. Sick mind, lazy mind, dead mind, and healthy mind. The sick mind is sick because of hate, revenge, anger. And as long as the mind is sick, so long the person is not able to experience the tranquil nature of spirit. One has to cure the sickness. And one has to go deeper into find out where is his or her hate and how deep it is hidden and how long it has been there. So one has to know the depth and how long, in the time length, how long it has been there. But a person who lives on the surface, on periphery, cannot see it. Because he does not go deep into oneself, herself or himself, and does not see what is at the bottom. Because on the surface we all look pleasant. And particularly when people go out, they use all type of cosmetics to look good, to look nice. People like somebody very pleasant looking and very pleasant face, beautiful. But when one goes to oneself, when one goes to bed, when one rests, one's head against the pillow, that time the cosmetic and the appearance, all what people talk, they do not help. That time what is the reality? That reality is felt when the person is alone. Man can fool the whole world, he can go on kidding himself during the day, but the person cannot kid himself in his dream or in her dream. You cannot cheat your dreams. Dreams come, and dreams indicate what is hidden in subconscious, what is substratum. To see this substratum and go deep and clean the floor and scrub and take out the hate, the anger and the bad feeling for oneself and for others. But one has to start with oneself. One has to feel good for oneself before you feel good feeling for somebody else. And how can one feel good if one does not feel that one is capable to experience Godhood? One has the potentiality, intrinsic quality to experience that. As long as one does not feel in oneself, the person is not going to see that Godhood in others or Godhood anywhere on the earth. The person can go to holy places and see the picture, see the statues, but everything, it is all superficial because the person is not capable to see that divinity in outside or in others, because that person has not experienced within oneself. And that's why Mahavir says again and again that to be happy and peaceful is the most effective way to make other people happy and peaceful. Because when you are peaceful and happy, then you are emanating those vibrations, those smiles, those vibrations of happiness to others. But if you don't have, if you don't have for yourself, how can you give to somebody else? So first have that. And in order to have, one has to see that microcosm is macrocosm and macrocosm is microcosm. Drop is ocean, ocean is drop. They are interrelated. They are connected. And when one goes deep and experiences that seed is tree, and tree is seed. Before it has become a tree, it was a seed. And seed is a future tree. And tree is a past seed. And that's why there is no separation between past and present and future. Because from the past, the present has come out, and from the present, the future will be evolved. So there is oneness, what we call eternity. What you see, the finite into eternity, and the eternity, if you want to experience, you experience infinite. Every moment you experience oneness. So when you start experiencing oneness of the past, present and future in this present moment, then it does not remain finite, it becomes a part of infinite. So here, first one has to see, is there any sickness in mind? And in order to find out, one has to go deep into one's own self to see in each cell of the body. Is there any hate? Any bad feeling? Antagonistic feeling? Resentment? If there is, then it is going to create canker in my consciousness and in my body, and it is going to become disease. And the person who removes this inner disease is capable to heal oneself and heal the world, or those people who come in touch with that person. Because that person has healing vibration. That person is nothing but energy of healing. And love is a healer. Mother's loving hand touches the child and child blossoms. A touch of love which comes from the depth can soothe any pain, remove any disease, and that is why we need love. But the love must be pure, unpolluted, not mixed, no adulteration. It must be pure love. Love, when it comes from that state, that is real love. But if love is for something, that is not love. If somebody has love for material things, for worldly things, for any to get something from the world, the person can use the word love, but the vibrations are different. And one thing one has to know, the words don't function, the vibrations function. Because vibrations are alive, they are energy. There was a man and a woman, both were in love with each other. But the woman was very wealthy. So they decided to marry. When they decided to marry, that time the woman told that, now I am going to marry you and I don't need a lot of money now, and I inherited so much money. I want to make a trust, and 75% of the money I am going to give to the monks, and 25% I am going to keep for my rainy days. No sooner the dinner was finished, the man got up. Where are you going? I am going to become a monk. Because you are going to give away 75%. So better to be a monk. She asked him that, you were telling me that you love me. Yes, I love. The love was for what? That was not defined. We have to see. Love come from where and for what? If it comes really from the depth, you become gentle. And one has to be gentle. If you find a touch of love, and if our anger, hate and aggressiveness do not melt, then what is the touch of love? But we have not tried to experience the essence of love. I tell you, many people go from the world without tasting the taste of love. And still the whole life they go on talking about love. They talk about, not essence. About means something surrounding. And here you don't talk about love. You feel. And meditation takes you to feeling not to the words. People go on praying, people go on articulating good words, and you see the whole lectures, they talk, but if the person does not have the depth of the feeling, I tell you, it has no meaning. The children sense that. Animals sense love. But we have become so much obsessed and engaged with the outside things, we have lost the sensitivity, the gentleness. So we are deprived of that feeling. Words can cheat us. And that's why I tell you, whatsoever you hear, you go into meditation, hearing the word, and you start feeling. So really you feel it? Otherwise, about words, if you see, every morning, Sunday morning, you hear, open the television set, people are talking about love, about teacher, about master, about different. But if you see the people in hate, anger, war, killing, violence, exploitation, so much of talk of love, and there is no touch of love in life. If love touches, life is transformed. A child went to a church, and there was a big sermon. In the beginning there was music, and after the sermon lasted for 1 hour, and after the mass was over, the father asked the child, "Dear one, how did you feel there? Did you enjoy the mass meeting?" And the child answered beautifully. The music was delightful, but the advertisement was very long. The ad was very long. The music, silent, when it goes, it was beautiful. But the commercial was very long commercial. I tell you, now, the spiritualism has become commercial. No feeling. And without feeling, we are kidding ourselves. And we are deceiving ourselves. Now time has come, man has to be honest. One has to feel that essence of Godhood. So today when we are meditating, that microcosm is macrocosm. The seed is tree. The crescent moon is the full moon. The drop is the ocean. The sun is the father. And they are all growing process. They are showing a process of growth. Only it is the question of a period. The series of events are taking place to make it whole. So, when one meditates, one has to go and first one has to see what kind of mind I have. So sick mind has hate, anger, and resentment, and vindictiveness. Then comes the lousy mind, or sick mind. After sick, it comes lousy. Or idle. The idle mind is always thinking of things and not of oneself. Thinking of things, how many things are there? The person does not know the value of oneself. One always knows value of oneself because of the things. She or he could see how many things I have. and her or his value depends upon the accumulation of things. He does not know the value. And one thing is said, when one does not know, the value of life and the value of one's own existence and worth of one's living, the person is not going to relate to one's own life and own living. One has to know worth of one's living. Things, not the person sees the human being. Seeing is one thing and to know is another thing. We see with eyes, but we understand and feel with the inner experience. Inner experience causes us to touch that life, that existence, that living. Then the things don't bother you because the things are on periphery, you are in the center. Things are not bad. But to know and experience the worth of living is more important. A mover came to move the things in a big apartment. And this man has many lot of antiques. So this man told this mover that please be careful because they are very old things and very old things. This mover answered him that, well, you should not worry. I will take care of them as though they are all new ones. See, mover does not know what is antique. What is old thing? He says, you should not. He made him aware that they are all old things, antique. Don't worry. I will take care of them as they are all new ones. To see one thing and understand is another thing. Our eyes see many things, but they don't understand. Understanding comes when we go deep. So we have to see, is our mind full of inertia, lazy and lousy? Only it sees things and not life. If you feel and get touch of life, you know your mind is not full of inertia, it is not lousy. The person who is in touch with, knows the touch of life. And the third kind of mind, what we call dead mind, it is lusty mind. It sees only the object as a human being and the outside beauty, outside appearance, outside only skin deep beauty and does not see there is something pulsating behind those eyes. It is dead. It has no life to touch life. It sees only the frame and the form. So these three types of mind, sick mind, lazy mind, and dead mind. One is colored with hate and anger, another with all only the things, and third with the appearance and form and outside beauty and skin deep beauty. Now we go to the fourth type of mind, healthy mind. Healthy mind is living so healthily, so it has three beautiful qualities. The quality, it always gets nourishment from love. When it gets nourishment from love, it always sees the whole world from that center, that mind becomes an observer and sees all around it and sees that everything gets the touch of the life. That is why things and people, everything are alive. And that person starts meditating and sees all one's own limbs also and applies the energy to each part of the body and senses. That person knows who gives smell to the nose, who gives light to the eye, who gives voice to the ear, and who gives sense to the mind, and who gives touch to the skin, who animates the whole body. Who is there? The eyes do not see, the ears do not hear, the nose does not smell, the tongue does not taste, the body does not move. They are all functioning because there is life. The life makes the eyes to see, life gives smell to the nose, taste to the tongue, energy to the body, and you feel that life. What one feels in oneself, slowly, slowly, that the person starts seeing in others. And that's why meditation is very useful. If you want to remain in touch with life, you remain in touch with meditation. Because that is going to take you to yourself, and in that moment you will feel the life and you will not be depressed, you will not feel lonely, you will not feel that I am alone. You will say, no, I am building a bridge instead of wall. People build wall. That's why they are lonely. If they build a bridge, they don't feel lonely. We have built all the walls because we don't know how to build bridges between life and life. And if anybody wants to build any relation with only the form, it will be very difficult because the form don't gel, because all the forms are different and always we are going to find out some fault in the form. Somebody's eyes are big, somebody's ears are short, somebody's lips are thin, and somebody's lips are very heavy or big. In that way, the person is going to only watch the form and effect. No person is going to be satisfied with complete form, and you don't see that all these forms are completely symmetrical and exactly as you desire. It is not possible in the world. So to build bridge between form and form is very difficult. But to build a bridge between life and life is easy, because all the life are vibrating on the same level. Their level is the same level. So always when I travel and when I don't understand somebody's language, I smile. And when I smile, I cause them to smile. Because when you smile, the person has to smile. How long the person is going to keep a long face? And then I tell the person that we don't understand each other's language, but the language of the smile is the same. Our language is the language of the smile. There we don't have different language. It's one language. Because the smile comes from where? It comes from life. It comes from joy. It comes from peace. When you are in peace, when you are in joy, when you are in love, you smile. You can't help but you are pulsating. You ask children not to smile, but they will smile. And you ask them, why are you smiling? The child is going to put a counter question to you. Then should I cry if I don't smile? What shall I do? The children smile. Go on giggling. Because it comes from the life. So here, we may not understand the language of another country, of another person, of another nation, but you go to any nation, to any country, to any people, the language of the smile is the same, and the genuine smile, when it bubbles, when it blossoms, people smell the smile, it blossoms, they have feeling, they smell it. So here, the healthy mind does not hold any resentment. It comes and washes away. I don't want to keep it. So in our monastery, we have pratikraman. The word is pratikraman. Prati means reverse. And kram means go. Go back. Reverse your day and go back and see you have done anything wrong. Became angry with somebody. Took wrong vibrations. Pratikraman. Prati means back. And kram means go. Go back. Reverse the car. If you have in a hurry crossed the limit of the red light and the pedestrians are walking on that line, you have to little bit reverse the car to allow the pedestrians to walk on that line. That is the line of demarcation for pedestrian to walk. In the same way in life, if we have become angry, upset, hasty, aggressive, before you go to bed, take few minutes and think, if it was done to you, how would you feel? How would you feel? You are a human being. What you do unto others, you feel if it is done to you. You put yourself there. It is called pratikraman. The teaching which I brought here is so healthy. It is like breath. It is like oxygen. Because this teaching, Jainism did not come for any conversion or for any idea or for collecting disciples or anything. They say that every human being must be happy and they find their own path only if they dive into themselves. If they go and see their own reality, don't depend on others and don't depend on the promises. Because if you have not changed yourself, nobody is going to save you. The idea of savior becomes, after all, in a long term, exploitation. Because anybody who wants to exploit is going to use that term and that prepared brain. No. You have to dive into yourself. If you want to get satisfied with the food, you have to eat it. You cannot be satisfied if somebody eats. It is a simple principle. If your bladder is full, if somebody goes to the washroom, you will not feel good. It is a very common principle. If you want to get joy, peace, you find in yourself. So here, the healthy mind does not hold the anger, but suppose it comes, because we are living with so many people, and you don't have control over others. So, the vibrations come. Even though you don't want, but people throw their anger, throw their language, throw their vibes, through the signs and all. Every day when we go, our senses pick up all the things. But before you go to bed, pratikaman, you go back, reverse your path, because you have gone one step further than your line of demarcation. Go and watch. And clean it. There are some countries, tropical countries, the sun is very bright. And before they go to bed, they take a bath, become fresh. So they clean themselves of the perspiration and fatigue, all the dirt, become fresh, and then they go to bed. They feel so good. In the same way, one has to cleanse one's mind before one goes to sleep. Take out what has come from the day's activity, from the people, from the friends, from the society, from the media, from the tape, and from the radio and video and all television. They are bombarding so many things. Can you imagine what happens to the brain when so much violence is shown on the screen? So much violence. If somebody wants to show any good teaching of non-violence, ahimsa, they are not going to take your message there. But violence, if you make a movie of violence, bang, 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 the people pay for that and take that movie. And our brains are continuously bombarded with these vibrations, so it is a kind of brainwash of violence. And a person ultimately starts thinking, if the person is loving, the person starts thinking that something is wrong with me, that everybody is talking about violence, why do I feel so much peace? So the person will not enjoy the peace. The person will have doubt in his or in her peace. That kind of atmosphere is created. And the sick mind can influence the healthy mind if the person is not a meditator. Meditate and see that you don't carry on today's vibrations for tomorrow. I don't want. You create dislike towards those things. Then I don't want. And once you create this kind of feeling, habit, I don't want this, the time will come, you will not like it. You will not like, but you have to build it. As you don't like the day when you don't brush your teeth, you don't feel good. I said, my mouth. So, on the airport, if you see on the London or anywhere, where in the airport also they have some special machine, you put coin and toothpaste and brush come out. Because they know that people need that at the airport also. In 24-hour journey also, if we don't get a brush to clean our teeth, we don't feel good. Because that way we have trained ourselves and we like to brush. In the same way, if you meditate and if you brush your consciousness and say, before I go to bed, I don't want any unclean and dirty anger or bad feeling on my heart. and that habit will help you to get rid of them, rid of those vibrations. And when you go to bed, you will get sound sleep, like a bed. Whenever I want to sleep, I sleep. I don't want to count the sheep, 1, 2, 3, no. When I want to sleep, sleep, just close eyes and I want to sleep. When you want to wake, you tell your mind, 5 o'clock, and you wake, because the mind is a powerful alarm. We can train if we can keep it healthy, in order. If a machine works, alarm works, why not our mind? Our mind is less than a machine which is made by mind, created by mind. But we have not trained our mind, we have not kept it healthy. So one has to work to see that one, before goes to sleep, do pratikavan and clean one's mind and get rid of those vibrations and feel healthy. And now you say, I forgive all, let everyone forgive me, and there is peace with me and peace with all. If you feel few nights, then you will start liking it. Then second thing, inertia. You will see things. The inertia will not be on you, because your mind will know now that we need things in the world to live. Without things, it is difficult to survive. So you need things for existence, for survival, for managing life, and you need money and material things. But there will be a sense of discrimination. What is valuable? What is important in life? That value one has to. So it is not that you despise things because you are spiritual. No. You know the value of things. A man came to New York and he was walking on the side street in the evening, and it was evening, and a mother came, a dacoit came and took out some weapon and told him that I am going to blow up your brain, give me money. What did the man answer, do you know? Okay, blow it away. In New York, you can live without brains, but you can't live without money. See, how much? The priority word I am talking about. What do you see? What is important? So, the healthy mind enjoys all the things. He is not against worldly things, or she is not against worldly things. Or money, or wealth, or position, or all they are. But that mind knows the value of everything. But now, this mind knows price of everything, but value of nothing. And to know the value of life, to experience this life, is more important in life. And feel that I am life, and I have to have all the things in order to survive, in order to live happily in this world. I cannot live in poverty consciousness. I need the things. But things are for life, but life is not for things. What is for what? My teacher used to ask me that you live for eating, or eating is for living. The same can be applied for here, that money and wealth is for life, or life is for money or wealth. They are all for life. So healthy mind gets all the things, because the mind is in a joyful state. I tell you, you make prosperity easily, because you have the vibration, you smile and you conquer the world. You capture the hearts. But sulky, angry mind cannot gel and cannot build a bridge. Before one bridge is built, another bridge is already burnt out. And that's why the relation, the friends don't last long. We are always burning the bridges before we build a new one. Alive, and it sees everything, and because of the healthiness it collects and gets lot of things from the universe, because any universe is happy with that person to offer what the person wants. But the condition is, one has to be in that state. And when you go to third, the dead mind. The deadness does not come in an alive mind, because the alive mind is a relation with all living beings. You see, mother, father, wife, husband and child, but you see a life behind those souls and relations. We don't see only the forms. And when you see the life in the eyes of your child, and child sees life in your eyes, you see how you are building a bridge. A wife sees light in the eyes of a husband, and husband sees light in the eyes of a wife. There is relation. They don't see lipstick and powder and all these outer cosmetics, they see life. So their outside beauty is all right, but you see inside beauty. And the mother and father and children, if they build relation, it will be beautiful. They will understand their need. Now, parents and children don't understand each other, because the parents want to impose their past, what they have gone through, the hell of the pain. They want to see that their children should not go. But it is not going to work. You have to allow them to go through the hell of the pain. They are going to learn from their own experience. If we all have learned from the scriptures and master, nobody might have written a new book, because all the masters have written all the good books in the history. If you see in each religion, you take Jainism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity or Hinduism, all their masters have written good books, books of conduct. So why should people write new books? All this, what you want to get all information, they are all in their old religious books. No, each person goes through the pain, and then the person writes the book, how the person has gone through the pain and how he has come out of the pain and how he overcome all the difficulty, and then we learn, oh, this person has gone, and that also gets information. That information becomes helpful when you are, or the reader is in pain, and that reminds that, well, that person has gone through this pain, and in that moment of crisis, the person found the path. So the parents have fear, so they impose their goodwill. But if you pour even the goodwill into somebody's throat, then it becomes a bitter drink, because it is no more needed for the child or for the husband or for the parent. So there one has to see that, to see the life, and then you talk to the child, talk to parents, and that way one has to build a bridge. Take some time to just sit with them. Just hold hand and go for a walk. To give things is not enough. Things are all right for well-being of outside status and structure, but to feel the touch of life, one needs a special time. And I want to tell you, in China, in India, why children respect their parents. They see, the parents see the need of the children. When children are really unhappy, or when they don't want to be alone, the parents will not leave them and will not go to the party, will not go to the concert, will not go. They give up their pleasure or their other things in order to give something to their children. Children, store those moments, those occasions. I was told by a son, every month he was sending $400 to his parents from here. So I asked him, so why do you send $400 to your parents? Here don't send any money to their parents. He told me that, sir, you don't know how I was helped, how I was educated, and how I was looked upon. And then he went on relating and narrating all the events one by one. And then he told me that there was a big party. And in that party, my parents were important people. And in that party, all big people, the elite of the city and the noble families were coming. And my parents were invited. And that was the best occasion in their lives, because they were cherishing that kind of invitation, and they were very happy when they received the invitation, and they felt that that was a big occasion to meet the elite of the people, big politicians, noble families, and they were anticipating to that day. And that night, that boy told me that I had fever and I had headache. So I was crying, and our parents were ready to go. From the morning they were preparing the dress, and everything was ironed, everything was ready. But when they saw that I was not keeping well, I was suffering from fever, they decided not to go to the party. They sat beside me, went on putting ice on my forehead, caressing me, looking after me. The boy told me that time he was 13 years boy, so he knew the situation. Then he told me that, I told my parents, please you go, it is just what, 2 hours. I said, no, you are more important than the biggest party, and we want to see. The words still ring at the back of my mind. That you are more important than any party on the earth. And how can I forget those words? How can I forget those parents who have given love and touch of life? Friends, this is for healthy mind. You build relation with life. So healthy mind knows four things. Love, the touch of the life, and the health. In this way, when you are in touch with life, you feel the microcosm is macrocosm. So let us experience the unity of microcosm and macrocosm in the moment of peace.